Hey, welcome to another episode of the Global City Mission podcast. My name is Joey, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Marsden. And on today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about a conference that we were at recently and share a little bit of some things that we were learning as well as things that we were sharing at the same time. So let's get going. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man. Good to be with you today.
So last week, Chris and I, along with Emily, one of our mobilization catalysts, we were at something called ICOM, or the International Conference on Missions. So this is a conference that historically GCMI has been at for a while now, several years. We go
almost a decade.
We go regularly. Basically, it's a once a year conference, and so we go regularly, and it's great. Conference opportunity for us as an organization to network, begin to meet potential college students or those who may be interested in going into missions. But it's also a place of learning. It's a place where I think we have found, especially over the years, we've had the opportunity to be both a presenter who's sharing things that we're learning, but then also find ourselves sort of sitting in that reverse seat of learning from others. And so it's kind of become one of those great places for us. And we basically had that happen to us this last time.
So it was great. The last few that I've been at, I've gotten the opportunity to share a workshop, and it's always an interesting dynamic because you're going into this workshop space, you know, as the quote unquote expert, right? Like people are coming to hear from you, but every time I do this, like there's someone in the room that we end up in a conversation with that, you know, well, gosh, man, I almost learned as much from them as I did presenting the workshop in front of, in front of the group of people. This year we were talking a lot about why cities matter. That was probably the underlying current of a lot of the conversations I had, but it actually was the title of the workshop that I got to teach. Yeah. One of two that I got to teach. The other one was co-teaching with a church planner from Chicago, which we can talk about that a little bit too.
Yeah.
Because that guy, I'm excited to see what he's doing in Chicago. But
For sure.
But this is why cities matter is kind of the driving force of who we are as an organization. And the idea that, over the course of, the last century, there's been this continual trend towards people moving into cities. Somewhere around 2007-ish, we cleared the threshold of 2/3 of the world's population lives in global cities. Theoretically, if you're listening to this podcast, like this is part of why you're here. Like this is stuff that's on our website. Like, we're seeing this trend happen. The current trend puts us at about 2050 that we'll hit the 2/3 mark, that 2/3 of the world's population will live in or around cities.
Which we just hit, they say, the mark of 8 billion people on the planet.
So over 8 billion people. So yeah, 4 like, billion I think, in cities, 4 billion plus in cities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so when you start to think about that really in a global perspective, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. and those definitions are changing too, right? Like, what makes a city a city? Mm-hmm. You go back to a more agrarian, culture, agrarian society, and the city was obvious. Like, live out in the small town, you live out, on a farm, out, in the country, out in the woods, or you live in, quote, the city.
Right.
But now you drive up into the northeast of the US, and like, where does one city start and the next city stop?
Oh yeah.
Places that would have traditionally been a rural pit stop on the way from city A to city B is now just a continuous bleed of we can call it suburban, but even the density is kind of increasing beyond what would traditionally be suburban. And so, the guys, you know, smarter than me are coming up with different terms on how to reference that, how to draw those lines. Jared and I were talking here recently. We do a lot of work with a college in Lakeland, and is Lakeland Tampa or is it Orlando as far as like statistics? And like, I honestly think it's a little bit both. Like, right. There are times where Tampa claims it, and there's times where Orlando claims it. And give us another decade, and I don't think you'll be able to physically, you know, tell the difference driving down the highway between Tampa and Orlando. Like, where does Orlando stop and Lakeland begins, and then where does Lakeland stop and Tampa begin? Like, I think it'll be one continuous, you know, transition, like so much of our country's becoming. And so, I mean, you know, some of this really is people moving to these places. They're moving from, you know, they're leaving, you know, war-torn parts of the country, parts of the world. They're leaving, you know, maybe their farm failed because of drought or, you know, because of just the way the economy's working. Like, you know, they just can't break even growing the things they were. So they come to the big city in order to get away from, I told the guys in this workshop, like there's a lot of different reasons why people are moving. For our sake, from our perspective, we don't really care why they're moving. We care that they're moving is giving us opportunity to reach them.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, like, you know, anthropologists and like people who are studying people, they care a little more of the why. we're just grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah.
But you know, as some of these, like, you know, you look at China, where, you know, some of the way things are grown is changing, the way things are made is changing. Places, it's not that people are moving, it's that the world around them is growing up to where in 20, 30, 40 years, they're going to look around and find themselves. They didn't move at all, but all of a sudden they're in a city, you know, like the city's kind of grown up around them. So
that's a very much, to put that in an American context, that's very, very much the city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Very much. We are probably what would refer to as a metro area. Right. So, you know, oftentimes we talk about cities, there's city proper, you know, the actual city limits. And then there's sort of the suburban metro area. And Atlanta is very much that way. It used to be, I mean, it used to be you, once you left the proper city of Atlanta, I mean, it would be farmland. You know, it would be like farmland until you got to Greenville, probably.
And like, and one but, little suburb here and one little suburb there. Like, I remember 20 plus years ago when I first started visiting Atlanta, like we would drive through Atlanta and then through nothing and then out to Stone Mountain. Like, we had friends who were out that way. And so, you know, like there was a clear distinction. And now,
now there's not. Gosh, it just keeps going.
Almost like there's a little blip between Atlanta and Chattanooga, but if you stay on 75, like when did you leave Atlanta? Like, and when did you arrive in Atlanta? Gosh, it's just one continuous chaos.
And so to that point, you have people now. I have had lots of conversations with people who have said, who have lived in the same house, the same place for all of their life. And it now, this once farmland is urban jungle. It's either a neighborhood or it's a factory or it's a, now one of the big things up where I am in the northeast or eastern part is a lot of farmland is now becoming distribution centers. So they're clearing a lot of this land out and building these giant Amazon. We've got two giant Amazon warehouses.
Which
for us is part of the reason why Northeast Georgia is getting a lot of influx of internationals, because they're working in these
distribution
centers,
big distribution hubs. You guys are positioned so well there. You got highways coming and going in and out of your city. You got, you know, the world's busiest airport Like that's a great spot for that kind of business. But yeah, it's right. People who've lived in the same house, they didn't go anywhere. They used to be in the country and they slowly sold off their property. The neighbors sold off their property and all of a sudden they're in the middle of a city. And so, yeah, we a lot of times, because so much of our ministry is focused on, you know, the diaspora, you know, global populations that are moving to these cities, you know, we're viewing and talking about the movement of people into a place like Atlanta, New York, Orlando, you know, Phoenix, wherever, right? Like the people that are moving in. But this other piece of it is happening alongside it where, you know, we're basically, you know, annexing, you know, large parts of our countryside and making them city. And so,
yeah.
So, you know, again, like we talked about this a little bit in the workshop, there's a lot of pros and cons to all this. You know, companies like Amazon, there's huge benefit to having an Amazon in your back pocket that you can order stuff. And there's disadvantages too. And like,
right.
You know, the wars that are happening around the world that are moving people to these other places. Like, I mean, like we're not going to argue that war is a good thing, but the fact that people are moving is creating opportunity for the gospel. And that, that for us, like that's where we're excited about this. We're not necessarily like excited about urbanization because urbanization is cool. Like urbanization is a reality at this point.
Right. Exactly.
We're excited about urbanization because urbanization is enabling things to happen for the gospel that wasn't able to happen at the same scale when you've got, you know, a preacher who's bouncing between four or five little towns that can barely support, you know, a preacher, you know, and we can move into these cities. You know, in this workshop, we talked about, you know, some of Paul's missionary journeys and just the idea that, you know, his early missionary work was that bouncing from town to town. And then he kind of moved to, you know, like, well, I'm going to bounce with a larger team and I'm going to leave people as I go. And, you know, kind of more like a church planner. Right. And then, you know, this idea of Paul in Ephesus and just kind of like camping in one place for 2 years and watching the gospel spread around him. Like that's the opportunity that we have because of urbanization. Like we're
right. And I think if you're a pastor and you're someone like you're in the church, local church, and you're listening to the podcast, I would think that one of the big things that I would just really stress to you, it is especially in where I am, but I would want to stress, like, really stress to your people opportunity.
Yeah.
It's easy, right? Because it's easy when you're in your town and you're like, I'm getting annoyed because there's more people and traffic and congestion and building. And a lot of those things sort of, I'm sure you hear it from your people. Like if you're a pastor, you're hearing that from your people, especially if you're in one of these major growth areas.
Yeah.
And this is the opportunity you have to really stress opportunity. Like use this as an opportunity to change their vision for what they're seeing. Instead of seeing this as encroachment upon our world, see this as the opportunity for the gospel to begin to encroach into these places, you know? So I think, you know, as we talk about cities are important, it's some of that is us as pastors, as leaders of the church, we've got to sort of change our view, our mindset, our lens, and then help our people see that lens differently. And it starts with us just really sharing that.
Yeah. We actually met a couple of pastors at ICOM, you know, a youth pastor, and then he introduced us to a senior minister. They're from Sedalia, Missouri. And this is the other piece of that workshop, right? We talked about urbanization, but the other piece of it is globalization. Mm-hmm. So if you've never heard of Sedalia, Missouri, don't feel bad, because we literally had no clue. We looked it up on Google to figure out where it was on the map. Cause like, you know,
we promised ourselves that it had to be like near
a big city. But it's not. He told us middle of nowhere, and he meant middle of nowhere, middle of nowhere, Sedalia, Missouri.
It was quite literally the middle of Missouri.
Yeah. So 25,000 people in this little town, 10,000 of them are foreign born, you know, rough estimation, 39 different nations, 10 different languages.
Yep.
In this 25,000 person town. And we've talked about this on the podcast. I've talked about it in workshops and, you know, out networking and talking with people. Like everywhere I go, I meet someone international in like a very unexpected way. Like, you know, I end up in these little towns in between other places and I bump into, you know, some restaurant that was unexpected, or, you know, I have a Lyft driver that like is from another part of the world. And like, oh, see, like everywhere's a little bit global. And then we meet these guys and we're like, oh gosh, like we, like maybe our cities aren't global compared to these guys. You know, 10,000 people out of 25,000 people, that's 40%, like 40% foreign born. Like New York would probably rival that, but where else in the world is 40% foreign born? Like, I mean, God, you can't look around and not notice another language spoken. You can't look around and not notice, you know, someone of a different ethnicity, or, you know, dressed in a style that's clearly not from around here, you know, so to speak.
And back to the thing about urbanization a little bit, it's like when you start to think about a city like New York City, for instance, you know, it becomes easier to pick those people out because they tend to huddle together in those kind of cities. So you have like Chinatown, right? You have these kinds of places where you can go, well, that's Chinatown, so I know what to expect. When you start to get into spread, like in where you're dealing with metro area, oftentimes that's not the way they come together. So it you know, it's hard to go, okay, well, is this where all the these global people are, or these global people? Now, when you start to shrink that down to a town of 25,000, you know, and 40% of them, that becomes a little, I mean, that's a little, I would say a little easier to be like, oh yeah, that's, this is becoming more obvious versus maybe in a more spread out sort of larger city.
I can't even imagine it not being obvious. And, you know, like, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, but I'm in a place that is reasonably heavy Hispanic speakers in, you know, in Greater Orlando. You know, we've got some pockets that are like, that are definitely Spanish speaking. But I might go a week or two, and unless I'm in a Mexican restaurant or in, you know, a particular shop, a particular place, I might go a week or two and not actually hear Spanish spoken out loud, because even though, you know, there's Spanish speakers everywhere, there's not that many of them, you know,
in a very condensed area too.
And you know, we're getting a lot of Brazilians moving into Central Florida, I mean, really over the last decade, but same thing. Like, I don't know that I've ever been out and heard people speaking Portuguese. I mean, like in the touristy parts of town, you'll see that, but I don't know that I've ever been out and just heard people speaking Portuguese in like a normal interaction.
You're not gonna find like a little Brazil somewhere where you,
no,
you
definitely can go, not.
This is the Brazilian neighborhood, right?
We have a couple of Asian pockets. We have a couple of and it's Asian pockets. It's not even like Chinatown or Little Korea. It's like, this is where you'll find Asian, or you'll find Korean and Vietnamese and Chinese, because that's the only way there's enough density to go. And it's not like it is in New York. Like, it's not. Yeah. And so that's the challenge, right? Like, as we start talking about being more, more intentional, reaching out to Orlando in a larger way, you don't have those dense places like New York where you can go into this neighborhood and try and reach this people group. But you also don't have the kind of quantity and density that this little town Sedalia has. And so, you know, I think this stuff is popping up all over our country, where we are finding these pockets of immigration, and whether they're refugees, like literal refugees that are coming in politically, you know, through the refugee type program, or whether they're resettling there, you know, there's always a why, right? And like I was saying about the urbanization part, we care a little bit. Like, the academic in us wants to dig through and figure it out. But ultimately, even for us at Global City, but definitely if you're a pastor, if you're, you know, living in one of these small towns, the why is way less relevant than the opportunity and the what are you going to do about it side of it. And so, you know, like, you know, Paul learned over the course of his missionary journeys that he can run all over creation and do his best. But, you know, one guy by himself going everywhere isn't going to get it done. But one guy living in one place and intentionally engaging the culture, engaging the city, you know, and the whole of Asia Minor comes to know Jesus. Like,
yeah,
you know,
eight churches are planted at least.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, the other day, this is after we got from ICOM, I was reading through 1 Corinthians and I had never noticed it before, but this is just dumb me, I guess, but 1 Corinthians 16, sort of his end, where he's saying like goodbye, he tells them, he says, I want to come to you, but God has opened an opportunity in Ephesus, so I need to stay here.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really telling, because again, here's the great evangelist Paul, who wants to make sure, I want to go everywhere. I want to make sure everybody, but he recognizes the strategic advantage that God had opened for him. And so he stopped, you know, and said, how can I use this? You know, how can I take advantage of the opportunity that's right before me? And yeah, I mean, he can say after 2 years in an entire province, here's the word of the Lord. We know historically at least 8 churches are planted. One of the things about that story that I love is that we know that there are churches planted that Paul did not actually ever go to himself.
Right.
So the Colossians, for instance, Laodicea, these are people he's never met. These are not churches he's ever been to. So that means he mobilized people from that area. They probably ended up in Ephesus, right?
Yeah.
He shared the gospel there in Ephesus and they took it back to
their city. Was it they brought it back to their city, or they brought it back to somebody who brought it to somebody who, you know, like, wait, this could be bigger than just us little handful of people. Like, we don't get to see that chain of events, but we know that that's where that chain of events started from, that like Paul's 2 years in this one place created this wave. And what came after that? Like, what else, what else came after that? That, you know, I love and hate that aspect of things like conferences and camps. And like, so often we have these great opportunities to share the gospel with people. And we love to tell those stories, those moments, but what came after that? And like, we no longer have access. Like those people have moved on. They've gone on with their lives. And every once in a while you get that glimpse, but by and large, you miss that opportunity to see the next wave. I'm excited. These two guys from Missouri, like they were excited that, you know, because I think part of the start of that conversation with them was they felt a little like almost like this is weird. And like, here we are in this little town and we have this unique, weird opportunity. But what do we even do with it? And so that was really the heart of the conversation that we were having over the course of a couple of days was, you know, here's a ministry that's literally, you know, Global City, we're literally doing what they're doing. We're just doing it in different cities.
Yeah.
And so how can we help them, you know, kind of identify, you know, some next steps? Workshop that I got to like co-teach was with a guy named Lance Hurley. He's I forgot what his actual position is, but he's with a church planting group in Chicagoland area. And so they've traditionally planted, you know, like Sunday morning, here's our building, here's our, you know, service kind of thing. They've been around for 100 years. They've been there, they've done things. He told me their group was one of the groups that originally started Community Christian in Naperville. which Community Christian is now, they've got their own church planning group inside of them that they've had some sort of partnership with Stadia, like this small world of church planning that just like, you know, again, this wave of things, right? Like this group starts this church, that church starts a group, which starts these other churches, like the gospel continues to move. But Lance specifically, you know, in this church planting workshop specifically was talking about they're starting up a Chicago project that is going to specifically target 77 neighborhoods in Chicago, like in the city of Chicago proper, there are 77 neighborhoods. And so he was talking like from a practical standpoint in this workshop, he was talking about like, how is your city divided? How is your city broken up?
Oh yeah.
You know, the boroughs in New York, the wards in Houston, like every city's got something like that.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I really thought was interesting and we do a lot of like our mission catalysts will have a people group that they're targeting, right? So like, you know, they're seeing what doors God opens, but I'm going to reach Albanians or I'm going to reach college students, you know, international college students, or I'm going to reach, you know, and Lance was saying like, they're looking at what are the weird ways. And I say weird just because it's not our way, but like, what are the unique ways? That's probably a better way to phrase that. What are the unique ways that these neighborhoods are broken up and what are our unique inroads? And so he was telling me one particular neighborhood, one particular church planter that's working in that neighborhood was telling me that they're going to target the fire stations in their neighborhood. Because the fire station is a safe place. It's a gathering place. The community all knows where it is. And so what if we planted a little micro church inside the fire station, you know, and people gather together around scripture and see what God is doing. And he in particular, because he's got some family background, he in particular in the neighborhood he was working in was looking at gathering police officers together. And, you know, and not that it would end up ultimately limited to just police officers, but that was his inroad. Like that was like, this is where I'm starting.
And entry strategy.
Yeah. And I just thought it was really interesting because like, again, our like viewing that globalization side of why cities matter, like our strategy is so much around people groups, but here we've got another group that like they're doing a lot of the same sort of things we're doing, you know, simple church, micro church, house church. They're doing a lot of the same sort of things, but they're just doing it from a different perspective.
Right.
And so they're on the very front end of that. Like, you know, it'll be fun to catch up with him in a year or two and, you know, how's
see
that
how
going?
It's going?
Yeah. You know,
I do think two things that I thought about as you were talking about that. Number one, again, I'm thinking about, you know, if I'm a pastor listening to this, perfect example of, you're right, the cities get broken up even smaller, right?
Right.
So into neighborhoods, into boroughs, into whatever. And so, you know, you may be a church, like it's not even about like, hey, we're going to reach all the people in Atlanta. It may be, we're going to start in X Doraville in this, around this apartment complex, right? I mean,
right.
Sometimes it's a matter of sort of zooming in even a little bit more to see where, first off, where can we just sort of focus, right?
Yeah.
And because you can kind of get overwhelmed thinking, well, let's reach this whole city. You know, you may be in Temple Terrace, Tampa, right? Just hunker down in Temple Terrace, like where Jared is and stuff. So, you know, and then think about those unique ways within those communities, in those neighborhoods, to be able to say, well, here's a unique inroad that we can go through, you know? So, you know, don't limit the imagination a little bit to, it has to look a certain way, but think about, I think that's great because, you know, you think about those communities in Chicago, some of those neighborhoods, the firehouse probably is a safe place,
right?
And so why not start in a place that the community has already designated as safe, right? Or already designated as a central place for them by which they can spread from there. I think that's a great little
project. I think dividing it up too is one of those where when you think about a city, man, it's overwhelming. Like we've been talking a lot about Orlando and I've been driving around Orlando and man, it's just big. But as we kind of narrow our focus a little bit and go, well, this is where we're starting and this is who we're starting with. You know, I do have that conversation with church pastors semi-regularly of, you know, they either feel like they can't have an impact because it's just too big, it's too overwhelming, or they kind of like see themselves too small to go beyond. Like, and man, just quit limiting ourselves, look around our immediate surroundings and go, where's one place that we can go? Well, we can win at this, we can own this. Yeah. And start picking up, you know, the opportunities that God has put in front of you.
And I've got a pastor friend up here where what they did is the church, they just acknowledged the fact that around their church, they have this neighborhood and this neighborhood. I mean, like legit residential neighborhoods, right? Houses, some of it. And they just said, you know, we're going to commit first and foremost just to praying for these three specific neighborhoods. That's all. Yeah. That's as a church, we're committing to laying these neighborhoods before the feet of Jesus and saying, God, how can we see the word of God spread in these three places? And how can we be a vessel for that? Right. So it may be as simple as acknowledging the fact that we've got this neighborhood, and this neighborhood. Right. We'll let the gospel and the Holy Spirit take us beyond that right now. Right.
Yeah.
Right now, this is where, you know, so yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, go ahead. Is there anything else you want to?
No, I was just thinking like my job, my role, like I'm so often focused on how does something scale, right? Like that's, that's so many of our internal conversations. And I look at these big cities and like, gosh, we need 100 people in Atlanta. We need 100 people in Phoenix. And like, but it really is that it's that simple. Like, it's, you know, what if Dave just focuses on international students in this one little corner, this one little part, like where he has opportunity and just trust that God's going to do the next part. And like, that sounds so simple because it kind of is, right?
But it's almost overly simple.
Right. Right. Like,
because in the human part, that's again, that goes back to that human part of us. We want to do it,
man. You know, we want to
do it and
we want to claim the credit. We want to, you know, but I think too, like it's the way we want to talk about these conversations. Like we don't talk about the corner of Phoenix we're in. We talk about we're in Phoenix.
Right. Sure.
And it's not just us from our perspective. It's the missions groups that we're working with, the church committees that we're working with. They want to hear about the whole city of Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's wrong. I think that's our human Western kind of perspective. But from that corner of Phoenix, that little inroad, the couple of inroads that Dave has, like, how does that ripple out? All of Asia Minor, right?
Yeah.
From Paul sitting in one place in one little part of Ephesus, not even like wandering the city of Ephesus,
he said in one place,
right?
The whole
Port of Tyrannus, right? Like in all Tyrannus, of,
and
so
and he just,
so my little corner of Orlando, you know, your little corner of Atlanta, Dave's little corner of Phoenix, like how are we seeing this?
Yeah.
Jared and Tyler's little corner of Tampa, not Tampa Bay area, not the whole metro, like that one little corner.
Yeah.
And what is God going to do with that? So,
right. Yeah.
And our new friends in Sedalia, Missouri, like, what is God going to do from their little church in their little town, in their little part of Missouri? Like, we have opportunity. So,
So a little shameless plug, but those guys are going to be joining our, at least the youth pastor, he's going to be joining our next disciple making cohort, which is a great, if you're listening to this and you're kind of in that place of like, okay, well, this sounds great. What's the first step? Like, what's a good step to take? And that would be our disciple making cohort. Okay. So it's a little shameless plug, but it's worth it. And in that cohort, it's a 7 session thing that we offer, Zoom based. I always call it sort of small but group style, where we're taking some of our best practices and we're putting them in the hands of people. And I think that that's it's a great tool, a great resource to sort of take vision and put some tangible, practical things on it. So they're going to join us. We have one kick it off in January. They're going to join us in January. We've got another one we're working on for March. Please go to Global.
The March one dates aren't up there yet, but the March one will happen. So like, if you're like, man, January doesn't work, but I want to be in for March, just shoot one of us an email. And we'll make sure that we follow up with you when that one gets posted.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe if you go to globalcitymission.org and you go to the training page, you can fill out the little form and you can tell us a day and time that kind of works for you. So as we start to take in new people, that's also an option. So as we start to see some of that, we can know when the best time works for people too as well. But we're going to have the March dates up soon. January is going to be kicking off in January 16th.
16th or 17th, I think, whatever. I don't even know,
I think one of those. But you can go ahead right now and go there and sign up. Check it out. So that's a great tangible takeaway for doing it.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. Man. And so it's been great talking and catching up about ICOM and sort of things that we're learning, talking about why cities matter. This is an ongoing conversation I'm sure we're going to have for a long time. So if you have any questions or things that you want to ask us, feel free to reach out. You can always email us. You can always go to the website. We've got some articles and stuff to do, some great other resources on there to read. So encourage you to do that as well. You can also go to globalcitymission.org to follow all of the podcasts. So if you've missed any episodes, you can go there and check them out. And we try to have new episodes weekly on Wednesdays. So we'd love to see you back here with us again next week. Until then, this is the Global City Mission Podcast. And this is Joey and Chris saying goodbye.
See you later. Bye.